A fairly simple sentence. Maybe, Dante says, I'm here because I have more respect for Virgil than your son. But Cavalcante's response is extraordinarily interesting.
Yeah, he says, what do you mean, had more respect for Virgil? Had? Had? Is my son not alive anymore? And assumes that what Dante is telling him, falsely as it turns out, that his own son is dead. Well, if he was weepy before, he's more weepy now. He sort of goes back, goes back into the tomb, not waiting for Dante's answer, and simply disappears from sight. And then a number of wonderfully spectacular things happen. Dante the poet is having a great time here. First spectacular thing that happens, of course, is that Dante does not get a chance to tell Cavalcanti that his son is still alive. He simply assumes it disappears. Well, the thing that kind of follows from that that's really nifty is what Cavalcanti did was make a very simple, basic mistake in Italian grammar. He assumed that because Dante was using a past tense, that he meant that that past tense also meant my son is no longer alive, okay? And doesn't wait to be corrected or to have his mind changed in any way. Here's a guy who can't understand simple Italian grammar, and he has set himself up as a judge to see who is the best poet. Okay, when in fact the poetic form that they were using was very complicated, rhetorically sophisticated, with, you know, sort of complicated sentence. Where's the verb in this sentence, man? I can't find it. Those of us who are not native Italian speakers are studying this stuff, and you're saying, wait a minute, you know, this is not like ordering two pizzas to go. This is very difficult stuff. Well, Cavalcanti, of course, says, I know full well. How do I know? I'm such a good judge of language. Okay. Now, notice that that links in a very curious way Farinata and Cavalcanti. Farinata understands who Dante is by his accent and says, I'm going to use that accent to dump on you to show that my guys are better than your guys. And Cavalcanti says, yes, language. Here's the thing that we ought to talk about. It means my son's a better poet than you are. So that what ought to be, and in fact, what is the most essential thing for human community, accepting language in common, is distorted by Farinata in one way and by Cavalcanti in another. The second wonderful thing that happens is that Farinata slides back down into his tomb.
Cavalcanti
slides back down into his tomb, and Farinata
starts right up where he left off before Cavalcanti popped up. If you were to read this canto, you can leave out about 20 lines. It's a Cavalcanti interchange, and you would never guess anything's missing, because Farinata doesn't recognize the existence of Cavalcanti and in fact starts using exactly the same language he was using before. His last line before Cavalcanti popped up, Dante says that my party mastered the art of returning from exiles, but yours didn't. Okay, so now skip 25 lines or so, Farinata. If that art they did not master, that gives me greater pain than does this bed. Absolutely ignoring his tombmate and in-law and fellow Florentine, Cavalcanti.
Not, in fact, recognizing his existence, right? And continues simply as though nothing has happened, as though there has been no interruption. And from his point of view, there hasn't. And, of course, he gives the zinger to Dante. Guess what? We're going to win after all, because you're going to see something about how easy it is to come back after exile. In fact, what he says is, but the face of the queen who reigns down here, a reference to the moon. Dante's pretty specific. When you're down in hell, it's a place that's characterized by an absence of light, and he never refers to the sun directly until they leave the inferno and are climbing the mountain of purgatory. But he says here, the face of the queen who reigns down here will glow not more than 50 times. Okay, 50 moons will come and go, which is to say a little bit more than 4 years, before you learn how hard it is to master such an art. Remember what the art is, the ability to come back after exile. So what he's predicting is Dante's exile, but in a kind of neat, indirect way. He's predicting it not by giving Dante the date of exile, but the date in which Dante tried to come back and couldn't do it. All right? A very interesting and, from the point of view of the pilgrim, pretty shocking revelation. You're not going to get back after you've been booted out, big guy.
And then he goes on to raise the question, why have the Florentines, since my time, been so unpleasant to me and to my family? In other words, again, why is my family the asterisk in the general peace treaty? And it's an interesting way that